when the apocalypse happens, we all need to meet at the lake house. Like, not just us three. Kenny's like, everybody in the NGP community, we're meeting at the lake house.
Kenny's like, I'm not telling you where it is.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And you're listening to episode 268. We had a conversation in our Discord this past week that neither of you were a part of, so I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. Curious as to your answers. There is no wrong answer, although I'm sure, Kenny, you're going to find a way.
There's usually a wrong answer if you look hard enough for it.
Who is your personal favorite video game villain and why? Okay, I'll give you a little bit of time to think by saying we'll just set Sephiroth aside knowing that he is the best video game villain of all time.
It's too edgy.
He's not even that
too
good.
Too edgy for me? He is. Everybody would agree that he's good.
He just has mommy issues. Whack.
He does.
Okay. I would have to say, I think I have to say Ganondorf.
But do you think that?
Probably not, but there's a lot of games and I'm on a podcast, so I have to answer
right.
quickly.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Do you think that Ganondorf is better than Majora?
Ooh,
good question.
Yeah, because...
Dustin.
No. Don't say your own question was good. Yeah, because Majora's cool because Majora is very different than any villain. It's just a source of evil, which is interesting and different. But Ganondorf is like kind of relatable in some way because he's like this evil pig man inside, but he's also like a man from Gerudo. So... That was the worst answer ever.
Kenny, no, it wasn't. Kenny, your turn.
Oh, true. Here we go.
I don't know. Bowser?
Yikes.
I don't
you
have
had
a,
all that time to think, too.
Well, yeah.
Both
I had
y'all
to
went
think
for really...
Video
really
game.
Really standard, but relatively bad answers.
Yeah,
but.
Like it's an actual terrible answer. He's not a good villain. I have a hard time thinking of villains. There's so many video games, and I don't care about or remember the bad guys.
I bet, Kenny, that Dustin has a few from the conversation in the Discord.
I have a few from the conversation. I also have a few from Reddit that I did a search. No, well, they did say Majora, and there was a whole paragraph talking about why it might be Majora. And then for Kenny's sake, there was a highly upvoted one that said Gandhi with nukes.
Oh, hey, Sid.
Sid? Dang, that's a great answer.
It's more meme-y than it is true.
Well, but, sure, Mame. But that's so funny.
Mame. And then another one that I think you both would agree with heavily is GLaDOS.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That's
probably
my answer. I'm jumping my answers to that. Absolutely.
The most original, the most like hilarious, and yeah, so good.
And it's one that you know is there's something wrong with her from the beginning, but she's sweet, you know, and kind,
yeah.
And she goes back and forth.
Talks
it's a really
to you the
cool.
whole time. It's yeah. actually so good.
It's so
she's
well
kind of
done.
Amazing.
No, that's absolutely my answer now.
Also, a lot of people in the Final Fantasy realm would pick Kefka over Sephiroth.
The clown boy? The
yeah,
jester.
Clown boy from 6.
I like him too. I think that he was interesting.
And then Atlas from Bioshock. I saw that a lot, which is, Nolan, if you remember the story there and who he is.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
really
he's
cool.
talking to you too. All the good villains like are your narrators in these games. So good because you trust them.
Even Gandhi with nukes.
Oh, I trust Gandhi with nukes.
There's not a lot of standout villains. Even if I gave you time to think, you probably wouldn't come up with a list. Would you agree that it's safe to say that really good video game villains come around once in a...
Lifetime.
Once in a train car?
No, I would say, I don't know, once in a blue moon?
Blue moon.
It's time to hop on the hype train because the game we drew as the retro game of the week is not the last. It's certainly not the least. Join us as we play Nancy Drew, Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon.
Overview.
Nancy Drew, Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon is a 2005 title from Her Interactive, published by Dreamcatcher for the PC. It's a Windows title. And this is a point-and-click mystery adventure where your titular character, Nancy Drew, joins up with her longtime partners, the Hardy Boys.
That's what's up.
And is tasked with solving a mystery. They're plopped into the middle of a train that is sort of the centerpiece in unraveling a centuries-old question of what happened to Jake Hurley and his gold, his theoretical gold.
You said this was a 2005 title. That makes it one of the most recent games we played. In fact, we've only played one other game more recent than this one. And that game is...
a GBA game called...
Yes.
Mega Man Battle Network 2.
No!
It's called... Castle...
Kenny, you gonna try?
It's called... anime game.
That no! anime game...
Okay.
It's called Final Fantasy IV Advance.
Yeah.
Just recently.
That anime game.
Yeah, that's,
no,
yeah, that's
no,
what I was
that
talking about.
No, that is not what he was meaning.
Hey.
It's the one he was talking about.
Why are there so many Nancy Drew games? On Steam, I had to scroll to find this one.
I mean, this is number 13.
Why?
And the last one that has been released was in 2019, and it's number 33.
Dude, what? Okay, so they've just stopped making books, and they're like, video games are the thing now, so we're just going to make Nancy Drew games. That's not a bad idea.
That's how this genre has always been. The, like, young adult mystery stuff, they crank them out. When I was a Hardy Boys fan as a kid, I had well over 100 Hardy Boys books, and I wasn't even really scratching the surface of...
Yeah, there were so many. Yeah,
like, owning them relative to actual big, big fans.
Kenny, I don't know if you said yet. Let me ask you a few questions. Is this an RPG?
No.
Is this an action-adventure game?
No.
Is this a real-time strategy game?
No.
What kind of game is this?
It's a point-and-click mystery adventure.
I don't. You may have said that then, but I'm bringing it back to the point and click because you didn't at least exhaust that conversation yet.
No, I didn't point out how much clicking this game has as you solve the puzzles.
Let me just click real quick. I never read Nancy Drew books or Hardy Boy books. I've never read a book. And two, point and click, we all know, is...
It's not Nolan's favorite genre.
Not my thing. However, doing the podcast helped me out a little bit. So going into this one, I was not like, I'm going to hate it. Because there have been some point and clicks that I was like, wow, all right.
Yeah, we've had some that were surprisingly enjoyable.
Sure. Here are the ones that I grabbed from the list. We may have played a couple more, but I think I got them all. So we played Broken Sword, The Shadow of the Templars. Yeah. That's that one that was like set in France, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we have the classic Maniac Mansion.
Yeah.
And then we had Myst super early on in the life of the podcast. Myst. And then I think it's also a point and click, that Scooby-Doo mystery one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was also point and click.
This is up against some pretty heavy hitters in the genre. Like, you weren't throwing little titles there in ones that we've played.
I grew up on point and click games, man. Like, because Carmen Sandiego, that whole thing was point and click. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of the edutainment games were point and click.
The Magic School Bus ones. I grew up on point and click. I don't know why I hate it so much. Like, all the Magic School Bus ones were point and click. I did have the one that you're talking about, too.
I think there's a good reason to have hatred towards the genre because
wow.
Well, because it had to evolve. We talked about it on the last time we played a point and click, I believe, but like they really had to evolve because point and click is generally slow. Point and click is generally hunt for the pixel. Point and click is generally come up with puzzles that don't make sense and are absolutely absurd. So there's a lot of like hangups, and it's just contrary to a lot of what is common in video gaming.
But what's wrong with us? Because we've gone from that to Fortnite building like this. Yeah. Like, have you seen Fortnite kids play and they're building like Minecraft around them while shooting people? Like, it's way too fast.
Honestly, Fortnite is point and click if you play on the PC, to be honest.
That's true. What's wrong? I think slow gameplay is absolutely fine. Yet when I'm in the setting, I'm like, come on. Like, I hate myself.
There's a middle ground somewhere, and I'm always looking for it.
It's TikTok. I mean, it's not just TikTok, but we are products of a TikTok generation.
Oh. Feed me more. Feed
my,
me.
My attention span is shorter than it has ever been.
What? Yes.
Exactly.
I want to be like Kenny sometimes, and or like how Kenny wants to be, I guess, and just disconnect, go off the grid, and slow my
lake
life
it
down.
Up. Go to the lake.
Lake yep. it up. One day, when the apocalypse happens, we all need to meet at the lake house. Like, not just us three.
Kenny's
everybody
like, no.
in the NGP community, we're meeting at the lake
Kenny's
house.
Kenny's like, perfect. I'm not telling you where it is.
I'll see you guys there. We'll get on it. We'll get on a train. We'll ride there together.
Bring
It'll
it back.
Be jolly good fun.
Give us the plot, Kenny. Unless you're just going to read important. Off the Wikipedia or make it up right now.
No, I mean, I already gave the highlights of the plot. That
please make it up right now.
You are invited onto a train by this young, blonde, I don't
rich.
How would you, yeah, rich, kind of, I don't know. Yeah, sort of Paris Hilton type. But this is pre all of that. This is cell phones when they were still dumb as an era. Remember, 2005.
That's
and,
Paris.
That's
Lori,
super Paris, flip phone Paris.
Oh, yeah. Lori Gerard has gathered the Hardy Boys, because they're the Hardy Boys, who invite you to come along, because apparently you're an afterthought, even though you're the main character in this story. Yeah.
The Hardy Boys are a part of ATAC. Everybody knows that.
American Teens Against Crime?
Against Crime.
ATAC. I hated that line.
It's so... Oh, it was that was really cringy. And she also invites along a well-known author, a paranormal investigator, as well as a detective. And this sort of ragtag diverse team is supposed to solve a mystery of the history of this train and who Jake Hurley is and what happened, all of that.
Gameplay.
Kenny did the first play this week because, of course, Kenny did the first play this
I did.
Week.
Of course.
I actually, you asked me for the genre of this game, and I told you like the overarching genre, you know, point and click puzzle adventure. Mm-hmm. But as subgenre, this is really a survival simulator, is
yeah.
what I
cannot.
Found
out. Are we just getting play, straight into this?
Yeah, please. Just let
we've
him
got
know.
To. Rip the Band-Aid off.
I just want to say, this is a kid-friendly point-and-click game where there are a very few ways to abruptly end the game and get a game over screen, getting kicked back to the beginning of the game. Very few ways. And the game, because it's so kid-friendly, warns you multiple times before you make a terrible error. Well, in Kenny's first play, he managed to kill himself and everybody on the train within 14 minutes.
First of all, I'm impressed with Kenny for being able to do that. Second of all, I'm impressed that that's a mechanic in the game that you can actually achieve. That's funny.
It is funny. Dustin, you said this game was kid-friendly. Well, I'm not a kid, so
it's not adult-friendly.
It's not adult friendly. There really are so few ways to do it. The game doesn't set you up to fail. It wants you to succeed, but Kenny goes and finds the way to do it. Yeah, like
it's I have a knack.
Well, you succeeded if that was your goal. But you to set it up, as Kenny mentioned in the plot times two, you are on this train. And so you have six in my opinion, truly unique train cars. I'll explain what they are. But before we go there, I just want to set this up I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be surprised, but I think that there is going to be some significant disagreement on this episode and that I might get frustrated on this episode.
Oh, no.
I just want to put that out to begin with, and I might be wrong.
I don't think that, so I'm actually interested.
You're setting yourself up to be contrarian, and I don't know why. We've given you no reason for that.
We'll see. I know you
guys. No, you just have no faith in us.
I've done life with y'all for a long time now, and I've loved it. I love that y'all are my friends. Six truly unique train cars. You've got the dining car. You've got the sleeper car. You've got Camille's car. You've got Jake's car, the projector car, and then the caboose. Now, that is the primary setting for the duration of this game, although you have a few other locations that we can talk about shortly. But that's where you're going to spend the majority of your time, traversing the different cars, talking with the different cast that Kenny already mentioned
with
that are on the
T.
train. What's a capital T?
Talking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of talking for sure.
A lot of talking.
But you're going through the different cars on the train, talking to the different people that are on the train, gathering clues and solving puzzles. There's a lot of kind of like little side stories that you're dealing with to get to the main story of where this treasure is and what happened to the train owners. And you're solving puzzles along the way. That is the gist of the game.
Yes. And this game, I would say, has a pretty solid tutorial that doesn't take too long and that tells you all of that. So like if you're familiar at all with point clicks, you could skip it. There's not a lot.
I skipped
there.
It, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm very familiar with point and clicks.
Right. And I didn't. I did the tutorial. It was quick, easy to understand, voiceovers, Nancy telling you what to do, like Nancy talking to you. So you have a HUD, you've got your phone. And you can like interact with the phone. It's got directory. You can take pictures with it. So like that shows the age a little bit.
Even how small the pictures have to be. Like it's legitimate.
So cropped. Like I was like, I want to zoom out. And then you have in your HUD a toolbox where you can place like the objects that you find for like point and clicks. You know, you usually have an inventory. You have to combine things. You have to use things on different objects. And then you have a notebook. And this is something I really appreciate. And I didn't know this. I did junior. There are two difficulties, junior and senior.
Yeah.
I did junior. And the only real difference between the difficulties is that in junior, you have a checklist. So it's like telling you kind of what to do. And you can call your friend Bess. Is Bess from the book series probably? Nancy's friend,
yeah,
Bess?
I would assume. I don't recall. It's
and from
years.
The other games, either Bess is Nancy's cousin or the two people, because it's Bess
and
someone
George.
Else.
Well, here's what we can agree on. She's her best friend.
Sure.
No, he said Bess.
Best friend, yes. Okay, he's not funny. And Bess will give you hints.
Yes.
In the senior level, you don't have the checklist, I don't think, and you don't have Bess for hints.
Right. I wish that there were a few other difficulty modifications, like in the puzzles, if you had less dolls that you had to solve with the junior one, or if you had to get less gems or whatever. I don't know. But if they could have, and that's a lot more work because they have to really redo the puzzles times two. But yeah. But yeah, there wasn't too much change in the difficulty levels there.
It would have been really hard to do that because those puzzles are so integrated into like the story and like train and the actual elements. It would have taken almost a retooling of like the entire experience. So I understand why they didn't, but I agree it would have been nice to have sort of a middle ground, because though the adult version, the senior level, I mean, it's a kid mode and
the X-rated mode,
grown up mode. Yeah. It's like, it's not the easiest thing that you will run into.
The junior stuff. So the phone and the Bess and the notebook is non-immersion breaking. And that's cool to me that they threw in a mechanic to help with difficulty. That wasn't just like something that shows up, as a game thing, like a game window tells you what to do. It's like you actually have to still be Nancy in those moments. And so that, I thought that was very cool how they did the difficulty.
And I think it does make a difference, to be honest. Like, having that checklist was super nice for me. And it's a completionist dream because it's like I'm making sure that I am accomplishing everything that's set out for me, because this isn't extremely linear of a game. You can do different things in different orders all the time. Like, our three experiences are going to vary. We might end up in a similar situation, but you can do different things at different times. Even there's different dialogue options that felt like I was getting different responses. It doesn't change the game, the dialogue options, but it did change what Nancy said and how the Hardy Boys or whoever you're talking to responds back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's great having at least that illusion of some kind of control and interactivity. And the ordering only goes so far. There are things that, like, you have to do before you can progress to other areas.
Yeah.
And lots of those. And so,
like, it's a Metroidvania.
Right. Some of that's going to look pretty similar.
Don't say right.
I mean, I'm agreeing with the underlying premise of,
He's ETing you.
Unlock something new, and then that's what lets you continue, which is true.
I was taking pictures, boys, of everything. But I had some reads in there, like some of them like I needed. And I was like, okay, see, I'm good. Now, you mentioned point and click is sometimes find the pixel. Mm-hmm. Still not solved here, but I wouldn't call it hunt the pixel. I would call it not as bad as that. It's like,
no, not at all.
Bigger.
There's a few notice the thing, you know, that is like slightly different, but they usually gave you some kind of visual hint that you needed to pull up a drawer bottom that was, you know, a false bottom, or like grab this thing that's sitting under a couch and read it. Or they did a good job of not making it feel like you were just hunting. Stuff that looked like it had actionable activities usually did, and stuff that was important kind of drew attention to itself. But Nancy, I don't know. They handled that well, considering.
And the art style makes things kind of big, large. So you're not having to really hunt. The things that hunt for the pixel is when that's kind of, in my opinion, that's all that you're doing for the most part. But here, you're puzzle solving and having conversations. Those are the primary things. And then you're finding things on the map or on the screen. And again, those things, they pretty much tell you if you need to interact with it. Even early on, you find this painting that is of an eagle. It shakes when you click on it. And Nancy makes a comment about, like, oh, I must find a way to unlock this or make it where I can get behind it. Okay, so then you know, okay, at some point in this game, I'm going to get something that's going to allow me to get behind this painting and get whatever is there. Like, there are, either through the vocal cues or through the script cues and through just hovering your mouse over it, it's going to tell you what you need to do. I think there's maybe a couple of things in there that are hidden or small. Like, there's a button or a gem in the chandelier that's up there that is maybe hard to find eventually. But other than that, I really don't think it's a, like, hunt for the pixel kind of game.
So the talking, the dialogue options, because you can choose what Nancy says to people. That doesn't change the outcome, does it?
Not like that I was ever aware of, but I'd have to, I think you end up in the same place. They might like respond to you with a different line, but ultimately the character actions are going to still follow the same story.
Okay. Well, still though, the fact that they had that many dialogue options, for all three of us to have, like you said, very different experiences, I'm sure, is cool. I think in a lot of point and clicks that I've played, there's not this much dialogue. You talk some, but most of the like interactions you have are like very pointed clues. And in this game, I was getting lost. Like, what are you talking about again?
I also feel like most of these, you play as a silent protagonist. I think sometimes people talk to you, but it's very different that all the dialogue as well as some of the like written out clues are all voice acted and read out loud. And so you hear people talking and saying what they're saying. You hear Nancy responding. And at first, I thought that was going to be really obnoxious and, like, slow down gameplay. I don't think any of that is skippable. Maybe I just didn't find it or just settled into, like, going through the story, even if it is. But, and so I thought it was going to be really frustrating. But it ends up that once you're kind of in the story and going through it, it sort of feels like this novel, if you will, that sort of unfolds in front of you. And I didn't hate that as much as I thought I would.
There's a series that NGP used to do called Elements.
Who used to do that?
It was an earlier incarnation of New Game Plus, but they would take a particular element of a video game out of character, story, I don't even remember anymore, music, graphics, and gameplay. They would take one of those elements and record an episode on it. I've made it clear multiple times that my two favorite things are story and characters. When you give me a game that is all about story and characters, if it's done well, I'm going to be intrigued. We've already talked a lot about the story here, but the characters, we've mentioned them, but I think we need to talk about them a little bit more because you do have Lori the rich Paris Hilton type girl. You've got Frank and Joe, which is exciting because I, like Kenny, had tons of the books. You've got Tino Balducci. Is that his name? Balducci.
Best character.
He best is character. This, what, like Italian kind of like, I don't know.
He's a
but
detective. He's like such a jerk.
He thinks he's the best detective.
Yes, and I thought that was the best character.
You've got John Gray, who's a ghost chaser. And so he and one of the cars sets up all of this ghost equipment, and he's recording and trying to figure out that side of things. You've got Charlena, who is this author, this older lady who's an author, sold millions of copies of her books, but she doesn't want anything to do with the case. That was probably the first laugh out loud moment. I don't know if y'all, we'll have to talk about the humor in this, but like early on, Nancy's talking with Charlena and Nancy's like, "You remember me, right?" Because Charlena had gotten her name wrong or something. And she's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I remember you. You're from blah, blah, blah." And then Nancy, you can say, "You don't remember me, do you?" And then if like, you click that, Charlene's like, "No."
Yeah.
Like, just
by the way,
really
though,
funny there.
Is that a callback to one of the 12 yes. other games?
Yes. Yes. Charlena Amazing. Was in one of those games. Yeah.
Are these other characters like the Ghost Hunter guy? I'm sure there's a game where you're doing the ghost hunting thing. That's
maybe. This is the first game cool. I think that John and Tino and Lori show up in, but okay. they might come in the next, you know, of the 33 games.
Right. I kind of like that a lot. I mean, if you're going to make that many entries, sure.
At,
like connect them in fun
and,
ways.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and build a universe.
That's cool.
The so, Nancy Drew cinematic universe.
Nolan, yours, your favorite was Tino?
Yeah, Tino because of his like confidence, a lot of his dialogue options were just funny. But the interactions between him and Nancy. So, and the other characters were okay. I just felt like he stood out a little more, even more than the Hardy Boys. Like I was like, all right, guys, shut up.
Fatima, best character.
Yes. 1,000%. Once yeah. you get off the train, you get to Copper Gorge. No, not Copper Gorge. Oops. You get to Blue Moon Canyon. Wait.
No.
No, yeah, you, get to Copper Gorge.
Museum.
You get to Copper Gorge.
You're at the museum there.
I didn't know if I spoiled because you go one other location after yeah. that. But you go to Copper Gorge, and in the museum there is this character. Her name is Fatima, but she's dressed in like a costume of
like an old-timey like gold miner. Yeah.
A hillbilly.
And she's absolutely amazing. Best character. I hands down agree with you, Kenny.
Okay. Yep. So someone fun. Posted a picture uh-huh. in Discord of that costume.
Yes.
Mind you, I hadn't played the game at all yet. I didn't know anything about it outside of Kenny's thing. And I'm thinking, what in the world could this even be?
You thought it was a character model.
Yes. I was like, how do they get there? Like, how do we get to the point where this character shows up in this game? And when it did happen, I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Fatima is hilarious. Again, there's another moment where I laughed out loud. In Copper Gorge, you have to make correct hamburger orders to keep, and then you ring a bell to keep an old miner telling his story because the bell reminds him of when he was in the mine. And if you mess up the order, you can't ring the bell. And so he goes off on a tangent about like how haircuts are bad or how, you know, like the generations are really changing things. So and trolly. Stuff. It's just really funny and quirky and unique and silly and good.
Not just funny, they did a really good job, I think, of making it feel like a Nancy Drew story. Like, it's easy to do, I don't know, a point-and-click adventure or whatever, but the sort of caricature-y characters, the types of mystery that you're solving were like, ooh, it might be kind of supernatural. Even the silly, like, backhanded, like, girly gossip that was going on between you and your friends that you're like, oh, come on. It feels like Nancy Drew, and I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. Can we do one more thing in gameplay before we move on? Was there a puzzle that one of the puzzles that particularly stood out to you as either being problematic and that it was maybe a little bit too difficult or one that you just really enjoyed?
I can tell you one I enjoyed just because it was fun. And I'll use
that's
this
why you typically enjoy things.
Sure. I'll use it to make this greater point. I thought they did a great job of mixing sort of bigger, more involved overarching puzzles where you had to pay attention to this thing over here and take notes and make an assumption where this matches this. Very escape roomy kind of like puzzle tracking, big picture stuff. But then they also mixed it up with like little mini game challenges, which I thought was super fun. And
so
I love
puzzle.
Partly because it was a throwback to a game that I played back in the day that I'm going to put on the podcast. I loved the pipe connecting mini game, where you had to rearrange the pipes and connect them all to be one thing.
It starts super easy.
It was just simple, but it was fun.
It starts easy, and then it gets a little bit more complicated because certain pipes are color-coded and move together.
Yeah, that was my answer, because it reminds me of BioShock hacking.
That was your answer?
Yeah, because remember in BioShock where you have to connect you have a time limit, you have to make the water flow through the thing.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that. But I'll say outside of that, I didn't think there were that many other standout puzzles. I was wanting a little more in that department, but that one for sure was like my favorite one.
There was a puzzle that stood out to me. It wasn't a bad puzzle. I just think it was probably too hard for this game and not enough in. They could have made a few tweaks in the game to make it more palatable. And that is the doll puzzle.
The dolls.
It is near impossible without having guidance, like without having some kind of direction on where to find the clues, because they're scattered throughout the train. Nancy does not write them down in her journal, which I wish she would have. If you could do that, then it would be so much easier to remember, because you've got to remember their names based on their descriptions. Then the clues are in every single car throughout the entire train. It's tough.
Yeah, that's one of those that it's totally doable. Like if you were playing this game and a purist and you just went into it, you're trying to go through without a guide, which I didn't do.
I did.
Yeah, you could figure it out eventually, but you're going to have to go through everything, look at everything, and realize that some fairly subtle stuff are actually kind of overt clues. And it's not just like one level. It's like a vague description that then you have to look at to figure out which doll it describes and then remember the first name. And it's like four or five levels deep.
One, if you like missed one somewhere, like I would
be gonna have to guess for sure.
Frustrated.
Aged.
So, book series, now game series, huge game series, apparently still going. You said the one came out in 2019?
2019, so it's been just a little bit, but I would imagine they're not done. Like, they didn't end her story.
I don't think so. Okay.
She died?
So, Kenny ended the story.
Kenny killed her.
So, I will argue that it's brilliant on whoever's responsible for suggesting to the author and the publisher of the book series, hey, let's start making video games, or let them have the license and they're going to start making video games, because I think Kenny mentioned it, this game played like a book. With all the dialogue and with there being actual story and characters, I think it's a very smart way to adapt a classic beloved series into a modern setting, being video games. And I think that a lot of other series or, I don't know, franchises could have done that, but they chose not to. And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think that that kind of format just works. As you were saying that, I wish that there was, and maybe there is, a Clue kind of game like this. Because I grew up liking Clue as well, and I read books with Clue that had checklists that you could try to keep track of who was doing what and who was where.
There has to be.
But I haven't played a point and click. The problem is, and we know from experience, that all point and clicks are not created equally.
No, they're not.
No.
And like, with that format ages poorly.
With 33 Nancy Drew games, I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine that they're not all created equally as well. I would imagine that some are, of course, some are going to be better than others, but my guess is that they vary significantly, but I don't know.
I feel like that if any of them were too bad, they wouldn't be on number 19 or whatever they're on and counting. Like, sure, this isn't like huge AAA title going to sell a million games, but I feel like the people that like these games consistently like them, and like you would with a book series you love, are willing to come back and get story and different puzzles and mystery sort of again and again and again. It lends itself to fitting that sort of model.
Well, the difference, I think, if one's worse than the other, it comes down to the story being worse, because the format's going to be the same. It works. It worked a long time ago. Yes, it's aged poorly, but like you're throwing a different story in basically every time. So is the newest one point and click also?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I believe that's all of them.
So there's some audience that still cares about point and click, but I don't know if they care about point and click as much as they just care about story and like the Nancy Drew series.
So what you want is actually a Nancy Drew series that's all about Tino Balducci.
I would love a spinoff of Tino Balducci where you are just a jerk to everyone. That
you're him.
I want that.
One of the ways that I think these games have the tendency to age poorly is that since they are point and click, solve the puzzle, have the right conversation, whatever, that after playing it, you kind of know the puzzles.
Yes.
That being said, I think this one probably, for a variety of reasons, probably ages well in that department. One, I think the game is long enough that coming back to it, you're not, it's long enough that you're not going to remember every single sequence, every single puzzle. Two, I think that there is some randomization to some of the puzzles, and they're not going to always be the same, because like there was one puzzle that I tried and failed, or I saved before it and came back. I don't remember, but I came back to it and it was slightly different that of what it was requesting me to do. So there's some of that, and maybe a few other reasons why I think that sure you're going to have that problem coming back to it, because there are solutions, and once you know the solutions, you have the solution, you solve the puzzle, but that there are a few enough changes in variety sake here that it is something that you can come back to. I don't know.
Now, I'm going to say this is one off. You play it and you set it aside. This is like it's the like books. Reading a book. I don't see people reading them multiple times. Like, there's some books that certainly are, but I don't feel like Nancy Drew style books are those. You just wait for the next one to come out. They're going to churn them. You're all right. Well, you got more of that where it's coming from.
Yeah. Like, can we talk graphics and music?
Yeah. So it's 2005. So it's one of the least retro games that we played, and that comes into play here. I think graphics. Would you say that they went with like a stylized approach?
Yeah. Or, like a like kind of pre-rendered stylized. Looking. What do you mean by stylized?
Like, I mean, they didn't. We play games, and when they go like a stylized approach, especially like heavily stylized, that can work well for the age factor because it's so stylized that it works. And this, I don't think they're trying to give like realistic. I don't know. Everything just felt kind of bubbly and
I think that that was because they were trying to make it like top of the line graphics and it just ended up looking that way.
Really? Really?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think it was intentionally stylized to be like, okay, we're not trying to be the greatest graphics. I know. I think they were. They're like, okay, let's make it look realistic. And so the mouth moving was distracting. Frank's hair? The guy, which Hardy Boy has black hair?
One I believe them. That's Frank.
Frank's hair is so bad. It's just so smooth and shiny. It looks like a helmet.
Like a helmet?
Yeah. Like a helmet. How? Okay, so the character models, The renders of the train carts, I quite like a lot. I think they did a good job on detailing, giving it that like rustic, at sometimes steampunk feel. So I think the environments worked graphically, but I think the character models are actually really bad.
I could definitely see that. It didn't bother me, and I think that no one's playing these games for the graphics.
Me?
No, they're not. Certainly not my favorite graphics. They weren't poorly done. You could tell what was going on. There were a few, you know, characters that looked fun. But overall, you're not like watching this enthralled with what you're seeing, but it clearly communicated what's going on. But the thing about the genre, again, that's not what's driving it. What's driving it is the quality of the puzzles. And so they can get away with it.
I'd probably say the same thing with the music. I don't... there's nothing to write home about. They didn't have it at all times, I don't think.
I needed
right?
more. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they probably needed more. It was nothing special, but I felt like what it was, it complemented the game well. I wasn't distracted by it or turned off by it.
The problem is I don't know what Nancy Drew music should sound like at all. Right. So I guess it's okay. It sounded like every other mystery point and click.
Right. It was kind of generic-y, but they did a good job. Sound effects kind of fit what was going on. The voice actors were relatively well voice acted. There were a few places that things were cheesy. But again, it's this sort of like over-the-top young adult mystery gossipy sort of like style. And so if the acting kind of leans into that, I don't think it's a problem. I thought all the audio stuff was pretty well done.
You just brought up the voice acting. I thought that's where it was remarkable. Sure. I thought that each of the characters had unique, well-acted voices. Yeah. I've heard some people complain about Nancy Drew's voice, but that didn't even bother me. I thought that every single voice was done so well.
Nancy sounded very mature. She's 18, right? In this
yeah, something like that.
Game. She sounded much older, in my opinion, like Nancy's mom.
47?
Yeah. But yeah, no, in general, I really appreciated that. It added a lot to each character, and I think that was needed.
I think one of the things that's nice also is that it's a very easy to play game today. It's on Steam, and no, yes, it's ridiculous. Kenny, I think you and I got it at the start of the week, correct? Correct? We bought the game at the start of the week on Steam?
Yeah.
Okay, and we paid $7 for it?
Yeah, something like that.
Nolan got it midweek. Yeah. Nolan, how much did you pay on Steam?
$3.
It went on sale.
For like half
every
off.
Time we play a game, no, somebody I, listens not, to our podcast.
I'm not going to play anymore.
I'm
like,
not playing.
At this point, it's an algorithm thing that people either buy it because they listen to our podcast and then they say people are buying it, we're going to knock it down. Or some idiot from Steam or GOG
is in our Discord.
Is tell us who you are and then give us discount it's codes to give to our name. Community. I bought it for $3.
I really do think that it might be algorithm based because it's such a niche game. And if like even a handful of people buy it like at once, like in the same week, they're like, oh, let's put the Nancy Drew games on sale.
I don't know though, but
Gaben listens.
There's no way that within the week we're playing it, it goes to 50% off. They're a Nancy Drew game. Dude, I'm not buying that anymore.
Not either.
That being said, I wrote down in my notes earlier this week, it's only $7 on Steam, but apparently now it's only $3 on Steam. If you do want a disc, you can waste $50 on a used copy. I don't think you're going to find much chance of getting it new, but don't buy it on Steam and play it very easily. You don't even have to do any kind of weird setup or cheat codes to be able to play it.
Physical PC media? Ew.
Yeah.
Like, no.
final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. That's our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I am less worried now than I was at the start of the podcast, but I'm still interested to where we end up. In my mind, there's no way Kenny's going. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just going to give my scared. I'm just going to give my thoughts.
Okay.
And I'll just say it straight up. I think this is one of the best representations of point and click video games that I've played to date. Absolutely. This game, I had so much fun, beat it in just a couple of sittings, and it's not the shortest game. It's a good length for a point and click. It's great voice acting. It's great characterization. It's a fun story. The mystery was there, and I didn't know what to expect, didn't know what, like, it was surprising me. The puzzles, almost every single one of them were good, and ones that you could solve. In fact, you can solve all of them, but some are maybe needed a little bit more in-game help to be able to do. It's not perfect. There are problems, but I thought this is such a good representation of it, of point and click, and I've been thinking about this game throughout the week, even when I've not been playing. It makes me want to not only play this game again, but other Nancy Drew games, and if a game can do
There's
that,
plenty of them, bro.
Make me want to play other Nancy Drew games, then I am most certainly going to give it my vote. I did not, when we pulled this game, think that this was going to be where I landed, but I was pleasantly surprised this week.
This is not the best representation of point and click. Myst is, in my
opinion. No, Myst was not that good.
Yes, Myst is classic, so good, beautiful. However, so one thing I had a realization this week playing this game, I really like Resident Evil. I'm pretty new to Resident Evil, the series. I recently played the remakes. And they were fantastic. I loved them. I can't wait to play more of the series. And I realized, I think a lot of the Resident Evil series has point and click to thank for kind of setting up the gameplay that I really enjoy in those games, where you find items, you use them, backgrounds are pre-rendered, and you, well, at least in the older ones, and you're walking around trying to solve this thing. It's got a scary tone to it, but I saw a lot of that playing this game, so wanted to point that out there. I agree. I think this is actually such a surprising game. I don't care about Nancy Drew books. I care about the game. It's awesome. the puzzles were fine. I didn't think all of them were great. I think a lot of them were boring. But why did I enjoy it so much? I didn't beat it yet, so don't spoil it. I probably won't beat it, but I still don't want to be spoiled because the story is well told. The characters are fun. I'm shocked that I'm doing this, but I think Nancy Drew, number 13, is New Game Plus certified.
I think we're all going to do it. I can't wait to hear what Kenny says.
That's actually such a relief to me because you took me off the hook. I was a little undecided here.
Of course you were.
I know. I lean towards that. I'm a little wishy-washy, but I was torn about this one. So I'm kind of with Nolan. I'm pretty anti this genre generally. It's a hard sell for me. They just tend to be really sloggy. You got to like get in and just like grind out finding clues. And I think the baby doll example is really the example that comes to mind of like, it can be a lot. And there's a reason you brought that one up. But this game does this genre pretty well. Like it feels like a Nancy Drew story. It's interesting, well told. I wasn't as put off by the slower pace and voice acting as I thought I was going to be. It ended up actually sort of adding to the immersion. And so people that like this genre, I think will love this game. I'm not sure if that's enough people to merit a recommendation. Thankfully, I don't have to make that decision. So I'm going to just go with you guys because why not? It's already decided at this point. And I'm going to say it's a good enough game to get New Game Plus status. Not the best game we've ever played. Probably not a like must play by everyone. But it's fun, and it tells a story well, and I also found myself enjoying it more than I thought I would. So, sure, I guess.
Oh, New come on. It's more than certified. That. It's more than that. The reason why I say yes is because it's, like I said, one of the best representations of point and click. I said one of even when I said it earlier, so get over
even
yourself.
Even saying that, I don't know.
Very happy.
Wow.
Which means, surprisingly and amazingly and correctly,
what?
Nancy Drew, Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon, the 13th installment in the Nancy Drew point and click series, is New Game Plus certified. What do you think about that, New Game Plus listeners?
Somebody's going to go and add all of them to the list, and we're
going
to get...
And we're not going to do that, because that's rude.
Somebody's going to.
Somebody come get her. Gonna read some of the commentary that came in this week from our loyal listeners. Garlisle said, there's tons of executional issues. The minigame puzzles aren't fun, especially the ones that are literally just luck. The camera is a neat idea, but its incredibly tiny frame size makes it highly impractical for capturing important info. And you need to, because unlike everything else in the genre, if you need to reference a note or a book somewhere, you've got to walk back to it. Even then, you can't actually check those notes while interacting with the puzzle, which thwarts the whole thing. When solving something as complex as the dolls, there are genuine accessibility concerns too around frequent use of cursive and a constant use of color puzzles, which could make this game genuinely incompletable for some. All that said, I don't hate it. The acting and animation is mediocre and does its job well enough. Some of the puzzles are very well done, and I like that some are actually semi-randomized. It's not hitting my list of favorites in the genre anytime soon, but I could see where someone comes to love this one.
Fair analysis, I would say, as always, from Garlisle.
The really interesting point on the accessibility concerns, because, yeah, when it comes to some of the color puzzles or some of the other things that he mentioned, that might be a non sequitur. That doesn't work there. But Lieutenant Paddock said, Nancy Drew inspired me to one thing, doing method gaming. Buy a wig and adopt the persona of Patty Drew. This is a game someone expects at the bottom of a bargain bin, and what I got was a well-performed, entertaining sleuth game that tickled my adventure-slash-point-and-click nerves quite well. Looks can be deceiving and off-putting. Nancy Drew appears to be a homemade 3D adventure studio game, but delivers a solid, slightly randomized experience, slapping solvable puzzles of different variety on top... On top, combined with some real-time sequences you don't have to be a pod racing Jedi to accomplish. There are several things to criticize, like there's only one puzzle that uses the camera function, or the rather anticlimactic reason behind Lori's vanishing act. No NGP, but a nearly game plus NGP this time.
Yeah, I'm so glad that both of them are like, good, but not great. I feel like they're echoing me, and...
I am a pod racing Jedi.
Cecil said, it's very clear to me how this game and the whole Nancy Drew series of adventure games became a nostalgic treasure for a lot of folks. The child detective genre made it a shoe-in for a kid's game, and the puzzles are a good fit. Let down more by being illegible at points rather than moon logic puzzles that sink most adventure games. The presentation overall is hokey but charming in a very basic way. There are better adventure games, including better games in this particular series, but it's an enjoyable experience. You certainly won't have wasted your time playing it. It's a solid 6 or 7 out of 10 material.
I want to know from someone who knows the answer. Which indie game is the best? Like, if my next Nancy Drew game, which one would you recommend? That's what I want to know.
I like how you assume it's a given that you're going to go play another Nancy Drew game.
I mean, I at least want to watch it, maybe, because I don't know.
I would play another one, especially if they're on sale right now. Thank you, whoever you are. And then finally, Clint said the animations and character models are bad, even for other games at the time. After playing the newest entry in the series, I'm sorry to say that it doesn't really get better. The voice acting, aside from Nancy, is superb and easily... He's just talking about the animations. The voice acting, aside from Nancy, is superb and easily one of the highlights of the game. The puzzles are, for the most part, very satisfying to solve, and the game gives you clear hints towards the solution. Blue Moon Canyon isn't anywhere close to being the most robust indie game in regards to story depth, but I think it does the best job representing the detective detective work and puzzles that the series is known for. And the characters are some of the most memorable out of any in the 33 main titles Her has developed. I grew up playing these games from my mom's lap, so I can't avoid the fond memories I have with them. But I also can't pretend they're perfect. They certainly have flaws, but what they succeed at is done very expertly. And I also can't pretend they're... And it's those things that bring me back for each additional installment in this series. P.S. I was glad to see all three NGP hosts represented in the cast of the game. Do you want to know who you are?
No, not really.
That's because he's Tino.
Dustin, Charlena Purcell.
Yes.
I'll buy it.
Yes.
Nolan, Tino Balducci.
Yes. Come in. Let's go. I knew it.
And then Kenny, the engineer's son from the diner. $20 for a haircut? You're the old miner, Kenny. You're the old miner.
He's mad.
Maybe, but
that's pretty
funny. We all know who I wanted
you
to be.
You think you're Fatima?
No, but I wish I was.
Thank you for writing in, sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. You can do that each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or hop in our Discord commentary channel. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our show next week. But for now, we're going to set aside Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon. We're not randomly selecting this week because next week is a director episode.
Oh my goodness. Big, big, big if true.
Every once in a while, we have a special guest come on the show that is a patron of ours at the director level, an absurd, insane level where Unbedavable is currently residing. He is joining us next week to talk about a game of his choosing, and it is... a 1996 real-time strategy computer game.
I just got hyped. I just got so hyped.
That's the one thing you can say where Kenny goes this way and I go that way. It's
different.
Like that
directions.
Is the, okay.
I would love to watch Kenny play it this week. It's developed by the Bitmap Brothers and published by Virgin Interactive Entertainment.
We know them.
It is about two armies of robots battling to conquer different planets.
I think I know what this is.
Both single player and multiplayer. The game is called Z.
I don't know what it is. I can't believe it.
I cannot believable. It is just the letter Z, which is the shortest title that we've ever played before.
Oh, a first.
Yeah.
Fun.
That's a terrible video game name.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's a title for so many other things, too.
Yeah, I'm hyped about the time period and the genre, so hopefully it'll tickle my fancy.
Gross. We're excited to play with you next week, Unbedavable and Community. Hopefully you can find a copy. It is one of those that, good luck trying to make this work. But, again, 96 on the PC. Find a copy of Z. Play it along with us. Next week.
Hello, listener or viewer on YouTube. We have a Discord server. It's important. It's not just like, oh, hey, we have a Discord. No, like most of our podcast is our Discord. So go to ngppodcast.com and click join us on Discord. We're trying to hit 100 million by 2022. So please, we need your help. Be there.
We also do monthly community events that are centered around Patreon and Discord. So we don't mention those events on our podcast, but if you're in our Discord, you'll know about them.
True.
Hey, we want to say a big thank you to those of you who go beyond even joining us in Discord and decide to support our ongoing efforts at entertainment about retro gaming. That is our... wonderful directors who we already gave one shout out to Unbedavable, and we'll talk about and to him next week. Super exciting, but also include Antonin and Garlisle and our producer level supporters, Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Bro Jim, Carrie, David, Francesca, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, William, and Zion. You guys are absolutely wonderful. Thanks for your support.
Thank you so much. You can check us out on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week with Unbedavable as we play Z. Until then, I'm still Charlena Purcell.
I'm still just a random extra character, I guess.
I'm so Tino.
That's not his voice. Well. And this has been New Game Plus.